Hello again. This is part two of a conversation I've started having with Gwyneth Moss in the UK. We've been talking about EFT and what it is, what it isn't, how to use it better, how to understand it. And we're having a lovely time. So I want to say hello again to Gwyneth. Are you there?
Hello again, John D.
Excellent. I wanted to kind of pick up where we left off on a rather brilliant conversation, if I do compliment you, about the inner dog and how EFT could actually be equated with the idea of puppy school for our inner dog. And
yeah. And of course, a dog is never too old for puppy school.
Exactly. My puppy is never too old.
Yeah, you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so let me just sort of frame that from my context, which is, no matter if you've just started tapping for yourself or you have tapping integrated into your practice or have been an EFT practitioner for some time, there are things that we can still not only learn but be reminded of, sharpen our tools, if you will. And I think that this whole triune brain inner dog analogy that you've come up with is very, very helpful to our understanding of how we can completely hone our skill set by not only asking the really good questions, but having a really good understanding of how EFT works on the inner dog brain. Could you maybe take off from there?
Well, once I got to this kind of croc dog human brain understanding, it was such a kind of, it made things understandable more for me. I was getting great results with EFT. But this really helped me to understand what we're doing, and it helped me, you know, people talk about the subconscious, the unconscious, and all these sort of, the psyche, or they talk in great long Latin words about the brain, and none of that really helped me to understand, because I couldn't relate it to my experience of being a human being. And once I was out walking with a friend of mine who's a retired psychiatrist, and he introduced me. He said, you know, basically there's a part of your brain which is the reptilian part, the ancient part, and then there is the part which is like a mammal, and that's the social and emotional part. And then there is the human bit on top, which is the thinking, rational piece that does numbers and abstract words and all of that. And all these three things, it's like this croc, this dog, and this human, are all driving the car together. And we're at our best when they're working together, and we're at our worst when they're working against each other or heading off in opposite directions. And that conversation just so clicked with me and with my experience, not only my experience of being human, but my experience of using EFT with other humans. And I've been so glad to share this with other people, just like he shared it with me, and I've added in the EFT piece. And because I really think it, you know, whenever I've explained this, people just get it, because they know what a reptile is like and how it behaves. They know what a dog's like and how it behaves, and they know what rational human thinking is, and they kind of understand, because it makes sense of, have you ever heard someone say, or have you said yourself, I can't stop myself?
Okay.
I couldn't stop. Well, who is
I can't
I?
Help myself,
who,
right?
Yeah. Or, you know, I just couldn't stop myself. I just had to do that. I had to tell you that, whatever. Well, who is the I and who is the myself?
Yes.
In a sense, the I is the human rational brain, and the myself is the dog brain.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so, where we got to in that last conversation, puppy school for the inner dog, this is what we can do with EFT, because previously, with trying to think or talk our way out of things, it's like we've just been shouting at that inner dog, and we don't get through. We're not speaking the same language.
Absolutely. It's like the Larson cartoons, where all the dog hears is blah, 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 ginger, blah, 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 ginger.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Because Larson is so spot on with this, because dogs do, our dog brain, it's not primarily verbal. It responds to pictures, sounds, smells, like a dog does. It gets some words, you know, like it gets walkies or dinner time, or but it gets words in terms more of their sounds than in terms of their meaning. Because meaning is what the thinking brain does.
Absolutely, that's just what I was going to say. In terms of a picture or a concept, it just comes home to them, food or walkies, whatever. It means so much more, but there's some kind of feeling or information they're getting on a totally different level than when we say that to one another. But that's exactly the place where we want to go with the EFT.
Because dogs do concrete language, not abstract. You see, we can talk about an abstract concept like shame, we can make meaning of that and we can have a conversation about it. The abstract concept of shame doesn't mean anything for a dog, but bad dog does, because bad dog is related to I'm going to be ignored, I'm going to be shut up, I'm going to be, you know, something bad will happen and it's something to do with me. You know, a dog does get that. But it doesn't get the abstract concept.
Right, absolutely.
So the way when we're using EFT, we are doing therapy for the inner dog. Because when the inner dog calms down or learns something new, our thinking mind can get a look in. Like, you know, in the last conversation we were talking about the elderly gentleman who had been in the RAF during the war and had been flying bombing missions and
the bomber,
and how he couldn't get on the plane. He was terrified to fly to go and see his son. And when we did the tapping, very quickly, he started laughing. He got that cognitive shift and he just started laughing and saying, well, I won't have to drop bombs, will I? But before, the emotional intensity from the inner dog was so strong that his thinking mind couldn't get that look in. So what we're doing with EFT is we are calming down the inner dog so that the thinking mind can get a look in, and the thinking mind can, that rational, present moment, logical thing can get a look in. Yeah?
But absolutely. Not only get a peek in the door, but also get a word in edgewise, as I like to say.
Yeah.
You know, because that inner dog, when it's involved in that, to use another dog metaphor, we're chasing our tail at that at that point, and we can't stop. We can't question, is this a good idea, or is this getting
us
anywhere?
Well, it's more like jumping up and down and barking. You know,
okay.
The inner dog, when anything came up about flying, anything to do with flying, his inner dog goes into panic mode. And it starts, you know, it's absolutely in panic mode, and you can't communicate with a dog in panic mode. So what we're doing with EFT, there's two sides of EFT, and this is the real key bit. The words are simply there to tune in the emotions, the response of the inner dog. And our inner dog, now this is the real weird bit. The dog brain responds to reality, like being at an airport and seeing a plane, or it responds equally well to imagination, thinking about a plane. If a person is afraid of flying, they only need to think about being on a plane and their body goes into that fear mode.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and that's because the words tune in, the words access the imagery.
Yes.
They access the visual imagery or the auditory or the kinesthetic feelings of the experience, and the inner dog responds as if that was happening now.
Absolutely. Somehow the words evoke the totality of the feeling and the meaning around it, not just a particular definition.
And it does
definition.
It through the imagery, because that is what the dog part of the brain responds to. So the key to skill with EFT is to tuning in the pictures, the sounds that make up the experience that that gets the problem response from the inner dog. So when
right.
we tune those in and that response becomes present, and then we tap, we allow that to somehow shift, to calm down, to get in unstuck, and then we have this beautiful moment of the thinking mind and the emotional mind coming together, coming into harmony.
Sure. I love the way you express that, Gwyneth. Could not
oh,
be
great.
Well, it's great. I mean, and your analogy also, it calls back that we, when all three are driving the car, that
yeah.
it's in perfect operating condition. You know, it has everything it needs.
It's a funny sort of car. You know, we can think of the reptile brain is like a crocodile. The
mm-hmm.
think of the, you know, the inner dog, and then we can think of the thinking brain as being like a computer. So it's like we have a very strange car with the where the crocodile and the dog have their feet on the gas. The
yes.
the computer has a brake, but it's like a partial brake. It doesn't work very well.
Yes.
And the computer is trying to steer. Or we might think of it as a robot. So, you know, we've got a robot in the passenger seat trying to steer and shouting at a dog and a crocodile who have the foot on the gas.
Turn left, turn left.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the time, well, the dog and the croc, they communicate very well together, but they don't understand the robot.
Exactly. They don't always speak the same language, but they do have the control to the emergency brake.
Yeah. Well, they can override. You know, the robot can put a foot on a brake which kind of slows things down, but the dog and the croc can override that.
Mm-hmm. In
and
control.
What can happen, where people get into sort of chronic problems, chronic anxiety, is where their inner dog just becomes trigger happy. its response to anything is to hit the gas.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then it becomes even more scary because the person feels they're not under control, that, you know, you're in this car and this crazy dog keeps hitting the gas.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, we can laugh, but it is a really, really horrible state for people to be in. So
it is, but like you said, if you can make them laugh, if you can see that and make them laugh, you've just entered that territory where imagery and feeling rules and is
yeah.
able to crack open that door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so coming back to your theme, the reason that all this, first of all, this explanation, the inner dog, inner whatever, is helpful for people because it gives them a way of understanding what's going on in terms of what they actually experience. And it also gives the root out of it. It's simply that our inner dog needs puppy school. And it may be that we have a generally well-balanced dog that's just learned a few bad habits or gets spooked by a few things. Or we may have a real traumatized rescue hound that needs a lot of careful care and retraining. But, you know, there are folks who have had the most badly abused and badly traumatized dogs from rescue centers who, with patience and persistence, have managed to help that hound to be a good pet, to, you know, to be rehabilitated.
Yes.
It's really just about enough attention, care, persistence. Yeah. And this is why, you know, sometimes we get those one-minute wonders with EFT. The guy I was telling you about, the elderly gentleman who'd been the bomber during the war, he seemed to be the sort of fellow who, I think, you know, he had some bad experiences during the war, but afterwards he came back to his community, to his family, and I think he seemed like the sort of guy who'd had a happy life, a good job, a loving family, and yet there was this one thing.
Yeah.
And so when we tune into that one thing and we tap, it can very, very quickly get integrated. However, if somebody has had the sort of dreadful childhood that we hear about, if they've had and then bullying, in bullying at work, maybe bullying in a relationship, and they've been continually put down. We have, you know, there's not just one piece of the pie. The problem is really the whole pie. And then the difficulty can be, you know, where do we start?
Right, right.
And this is another great thing with EFT. We just start somewhere. We start somewhere, we start, we have to be able to go a bite-sized chunk at a time. So the skill of what this inner dog thing tells us is we need to be using sensory-specific words with EFT.
Very specifically, right. Instead of the general pitfall, which we easily fall into because we think we know what that word means, but actually it's not very specific. It just sounds pretty good, right?
Well, I'll give you an example of this. A woman who, she wanted to start dating again. It was a long time since she'd been divorced, and she'd just been basically shutting herself away in the evenings, TV, chocolates, glass of wine, and shutting the world out and shutting herself in. And we started doing some tapping because she wanted to eat less chocolate. And then it became that actually she wanted to get out and start dating again. And as we tapped more about that, up came all the pain of the loss of her marriage.
Yes.
Now, she had been having therapy for this for years and years and years. She and her talking mind and her therapist had done everything they could. They talked and talked and talked, and yet that deep, deep pain was still there. And this
again,
is an example.
You can't think your way out of that problem. You can't talk your way out. This is where EFT is so marvelous.
What you can do with talking is find a better way of suppressing it. And often a lot of talk therapy can simply be about really wrapping that thing up, putting layers and layers of cotton wool around it, so it's like it's still there, but it doesn't it doesn't get jolted about as much.
Well, yeah, okay, and you also gave me the imagery of mummy, a mummification. And the idea of the mummification is to save it for all time, when actually most of us really, really want to get past it. And just put that in the file M for mummy, but, you know, not save it forever. Just it
well, this lady had that deep, deep hurt saved forever. And so this is the bit I want people to understand, because it was a big, big learning moment for her. I said, can you make from the worst time of that deep, deep hurt, from the worst time of the loss of your marriage, can you make a picture of the worst moment? And what do you see in that picture? Now, she said, betrayal. Now, betrayal is a meaning word. It's not a sensory word. You can't see betrayal.
Right.
Or rather, when I say the word betrayal, you're maybe making some picture in your mind, but it could be quite different from the picture in mine or what actually happened. So I said, can you be more specific? And she said, heartbreak. Well, you can't see heartbreak either. So I said to her, okay, this moment in time that you're focused on, if that's on a screen, can you tell me what you actually see on that screen, what's in the picture? And then she said, I see two people standing in a bedroom and they can't meet each other's eyes or speak to each other. There's two people standing in a bedroom in silence. Okay, that is specific. That is something that can be seen. It's also something that can be heard, or the lack of sound, the silence. So we tap with, even though I see two people standing in a bedroom in silence, even though they're looking away from each other, even though they can't meet each other's eyes, even though there's no words, it's quiet, you know, it's silent, neither of them can say anything.
Okay.
And I see these two people and I see the bedroom. So we tap around all of that, and that, it was almost like you saw the hurt lift off her. The tapping got into that moment.
Yes, I can feel it just as you're talking. You know, it is
well,
palpable.
I heard, I heard, there's a few, and we carried on, we tapped with all sorts of things, and again, going into the specific moment, the moment of seeing his car drive away for the last time,
mm-hmm.
seeing
mm-hmm.
his bags packed mm-hmm. in the hallway, all those moments, because the hurt was made up of those moments.
And I'm experiencing it as you talk so viscerally that my eyes are weeping just
okay.
listening, because it is so, it is such a very human mm. moment, and you've expressed it so
yeah.
very well, or she has, and through you. And
well,
it's a wonderful paradigm for being able
okay.
to.
Okay, when I'm talking
that.
About those moments, the two people in the bedroom who can't meet each other's eyes, the bags packed in the hall, the car driving away, that is tuning in something of you. When
absolutely.
We simply talk about betrayal or heartbreak, it doesn't tune in the same way. So it's images. And some people have very clear visual images. Some of them are more faint or vague, or they have more auditory images, or they just get the sense of it. It doesn't matter how you do it, you know, what in NLP terms your representational style is, as long as you get to that level. Now,
exactly.
when we tap through all those things at that level, by the end of the hour session, and this was done in a workshop, so there was an audience there, and everyone could see that she looked different. She looked 10 years younger. Her face had sort of smoothed and rounded. She was sitting up straighter. That you could see such a change. And what I heard from the woman who'd arranged the workshop is 2 weeks later, that lady had had a call from her ex-husband because they had to talk about their daughter's schooling. And instead of her shouting at him and getting angry, they decided to meet in a local Starbucks. Well, 2 weeks after that, he moved back in with her. Because we've got to the, once that huge hurt
yes.
was cleared, she was able to come back to the present moment
and open
and able, yeah, to communicate from the present moment, not from the pain of the past.
Right. Ah, that's so wonderful. I love that.
So,
it's
yeah,
instructive as well as a really lovely story, and I think everybody listening can relate to that. You've done a marvelous job as usual.
So what I'm wanting to get across is that EFT, when we use EFT, we're working differently from conventional therapy. What conventional therapy does is it takes all those moments and it kind of aggregates them up, chunks them together to form an issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about the issue and explore the issue and your feelings about the issue at a more sort of general issue level. With EFT, we go in the opposite direction. We take that general issue and we chunk it down into the moments in time. We go from the
yes.
film to the individual scenes in the film.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Because that's the level at which the emotion is held in the emotional brain.
Yes. Yes.
At that dog level of the brain. The dog level of the brain doesn't make meaning. You can kind of understand that with dogs. I think that a friend of mine, she got a dog from, young dog, a puppy, from a local farm. And she felt when she got the puppy that it had been badly treated. And the farmer, who was a man with a beard, said, "Yeah, you just can't train that one. That one's he was just going to get shot at it. He couldn't train it." And she thought that he probably tried to train it by
right.
shouting at it and beating it, and this dog hadn't responded to that. Well, years and years later, I mean, the dog's now getting on for 10, that dog still just went apeshit, went into barking mad panic mode whenever it saw a man with a beard.
Right, right.
And she had just found a new partner, a lovely gentleman who had a beard.
What are the odds, right?
Yeah.
But
doesn't make meaning. The dog doesn't say, this man with a beard is different from that man with a beard. The dog goes, beard, I'm going to get hit.
It triggers the same experience that's held without any forethought whatsoever. It just it doesn't have that kind of brain.
Yeah, yeah. So once we did some EFT, the dog calmed down about beard. It's almost like when we do tapping, and there's a lot to be learned from doing tapping with animals, and we're going to talk about that in another conversation, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. A couple of times in the very near future, we'll let them know about
you
that.
You start to understand just how specific that emotional part of the brain is, and just how it is about the things that are seen, the things that are heard, smelt, taste, and not about any sort of meaning or interpretation.
Or like you said, a bundled issue. I mean, my love of doing EFT with people and with animals and the bridge, if you will, is that we can all get stuck in our story. The dog can get stuck in the story of being afraid of people with beards or being afraid of being abused, or I was abused. That's his story, perhaps. And the same with people. And if we treat them as that's your story and we keep going around and round and round with that story, we'll never get to start releasing it into those discrete, specific pieces where it also reminds me of Bruce Lipton when he talks about cellular memory. You know, there's a little piece of information, tiny, minuscule, in each of those cells. And until you can do that, you can't really make great progress on the cancer that, in this case, we're talking an emotional issue, you know.
Well, all physical issues have their roots in emotional stress.
Absolutely.
And the more we get to the moments in time that make up those, like, sort of aggregates of issues, stresses, whatever we call them, that the more we get leverage with EFT. You know, it's what Gary Craig called aspects. You know, we can think each... an aspect is a single element.
Right.
And that's where this skill of simple questions, simple curiosity, really pays off. This is where getting down to the individual moments, the individual elements, this is where we really get success with EFT. And this is where I think... many people starting out can, well, not necessarily go wrong, but not get the results that they're looking for or that they feel they've been promised. It's this understanding of how to get to that really nitty-gritty sensory level.
Well, you know, it almost goes with the phrase that we have over here called KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And it's not nice to go around calling things stupid, but...
Oh, we say keep it simple, sweetheart.
Oh, okay. I like that even better. I'll use that. I'll take that right away. But that sort of reminder is so easy and so easily forgotten that I'm definitely going to integrate that right away, because it's so easy for us to go where they're wanting to lead us with their cognitive assessment of things. And bringing it back to that very simple, discrete piece level ensures success.
You said in our first conversation, people kind of have an expectation of things being complex or complicated. And when someone starts a new modality, they start bringing all this jargon and complexity into it.
Yes.
And actually, this is why kids are so good with EFT, because they haven't got to that habit of intellectualization yet.
Right, and playing keep away or psychological reversal or whatever you'd like to put on it. They experience it in the moment for what it is. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was working with a little boy on some test anxiety and it took maybe 60 seconds before he said, "Have you ever ridden this roller coaster called the King Dakar?" And thank you, God, I had. It's just the most scary thing ever. And I said, "Why, yes, I have. And isn't it amazing? It's so very tall and scary." And he said, "And when you get up to the very top and you've crested the top, you know that feeling in your tummy? that's the one. And the rest of the session was on the King Dakar feeling. And Ringo, he just got it viscerally right there. He connected right away, just the way you're saying. They don't have all those filters.
No, because that's the other way of getting specific. One way of getting specific is in the, you know, the external imagery, like husband's bags packed in the hallway. And then the other way of getting specific is in being really specific on the visceral internal response, like that, you know, roller coaster feeling in the pit of my stomach, or hole in my heart, or and being very specific on where the feeling is in the body. That's the other way, when we don't really know what something is about, that we can tune into it.
Yes. And I like to do this. I'm curious if you do it as well. If you encounter someone who's just not quite comfortable yet with this idea, I try to work with them by saying, you know, is it possible that we could give yourself permission to let it come? Even though that's very unusual for you to do that, is it possible that we could allow this to happen?
Well, I find that often if we start tapping with, even though I really don't know what this is about, I really don't know. I don't know what this is about. It can't be about anything. There's nothing I remember that could be anything to do with this. And then they go, oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
And because often the experience, the sort of root memory is so different from the current manifestation that they just wouldn't make the connection. And that logically, to the logical, rational mind, there isn't a connection, but to the emotional mind, there is. Yeah.
I love that. It's absolutely true.
I've got a lovely example of that. A woman who, she was at board level in a large organization, and at a board meeting, there'd been a reorganization announced by the new director, which had taken responsibility away from her. And she had responded by almost getting, you know, she'd got very angry. She'd had to leave the meeting and found herself going to the ladies' room and crying.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, she had panic attacks. She was just in a real mess. She said, there's nothing that, I don't know what this is about. This is, you know, and she was, because the thinking mind is always groping to try and find explanations.
Yes.
And she was getting paranoid that people had got it in for her, all sorts. We just started tapping with what had happened in that meeting, what was the exact words that were said, the feeling of being there, the just sort of groping around and tapping. And then I'm going, and I don't know what this is about. I don't know what can possibly, you know, just, I don't know. And then as we're tapping, this memory emerges from when she was 13 years old. And essentially her father was an alcoholic, and her mother had thrown him out, and he'd promised her a watch for her birthday. And her birthday came, and they went all the way across town to visit her father. And of course there was no watch. You know, he spent the money on booze, and there was no watch. And she was very, very disappointed. And then a few days later, she sees her mother wearing a watch. And she assumes, that's my watch. You know, she took my watch. And of course, you know, it wasn't, but that was her 13-year-old kind of response.
Yes.
And that huge, it's not fair. You know, you took my watch, you anger, you threw my father out. And a 13-year-old doesn't understand what it's like to be bringing up four kids and with an alcoholic husband. And so if we tap that through, we tap through the detail of the memories of then and the detail of the board meeting, again, the whole weight lifted off her. And by the end of the session, she was saying, hey, I'm absolutely delighted they've taken this responsibility away from me. I'm going to retire in a couple of years. I'll just sit back and they can keep on paying me and I'll do less work. You know, that's fine. And the whole it's not fair, panic, anger and everything was just let go. But she would never have made that connection that her response as a grown-up in a board meeting with anything to do with her father not giving her a watch when she was 13.
Absolutely not. It was the inner dog, though, with the watch concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The inner dog makes the connection. The dog doesn't forget. The thinking mind does. The thinking mind is quite limited in its capacity, and it doesn't remember everything. It forgets a huge amount of stuff. The dog doesn't.
Yeah. It's in that way, it's an elephant, an inner elephant, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. You've expressed that really well.
Thank you.
I really do.
Well, I've been teaching EFT to group for 6 years now, and I find that I teach hugely by metaphors and stories, and I never really know what I'm going to say. I will just have I have a structure through which I teach, by which I introduce people to the concept. Because the key thing about teaching EFT is to be able to get back to that beginner's mind, get back to that sort of skeptical not knowing, and introduce EFT to people in bite-sized chunks, in a way that they can get it, where it builds on their actual experience. And so I just have loads of stories, metaphors, bits of imagery, because this is how people get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a lot of practical exercises, which quite specifically defined exercises, which build on each other, so that by the end of the 2 days, people have they've really got it with EFT, but they don't really know how they've got it. It's like they've got it at that deeper level.
But their dog's got it, so that's good.
This is the important thing. When our inner dog is a happy dog, because dogs love to work.
Yes, they do. They do. And that's precisely correct. Lots of, I know we've talked about this before, and we'll talk about it more on our animals conversation, but I know Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer over here, he frequently finds a dog that needs a saddle or a backpack. They need to feel as if they are doing work, because that is what they have been bred through the millennia to do.
And dogs can be sort of traumatized by cruelty and abuse, but a dog can also be really messed up by having its work rejected.
And in that way, we're all inner dogs, right?
Yeah. A lot of people in this country, where I live up in Yorkshire, this is sheep country, it's border collie country.
Mm-hmm.
And people will often get a border collie pup from a farm. And it's a big mistake, because a farm dog is a working dog. And it's almost like the misery of an unemployed steel worker. It's been bred for one thing, and that's its purpose and its meaning, and when it can't do that, it doesn't know how to be a pet.
Right.
And I've often tapped with people about tapping for the dog in understanding the job of a pet, because being a pet is a job.
Yes, it is.
It's a very different job.
Yeah. Well, it's on that same dog brain level, you know. It's a totally different way of looking at things and understanding things. It's a piece of us that's underneath our daily cognitive function.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love the analogy that you made, too, about our purpose and our work. And you know where I'm weaving that back, Gwyneth, is when we started talking the other day about your Hoboken Road Warrior and about that work that wasn't fulfilling purpose, and that same feeling, in a way. That's what I'm getting in my heart.
Yeah, well, when I was that Hoboken Road Warrior going, all over the states on planes, and it was a lot of planes and airports and taxis and hotel conference rooms and more planes and airports and meeting rooms and all of that. And for years, I was like a rat in a wheel, and because that sort of life gives you a lot of short to medium term goals. There's always what you have to do next and what you have to do next. And I just had this moment where I saw through it all, and it just all became meaningless. It just lost all meaning. And once it lost all meaning, I couldn't put the meaning back into it, and I couldn't be that rat in the wheel.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. And so we're all of us are ever so glad that you found your purpose.
And you know, I could never, ever have foreseen it. I really couldn't.
Well, not with that background. It doesn't make any logical sense to me at all with that background that you would have foreseen this.
I don't know with any background that I could. But what I have been able to do is, my scientific background, I bring that to EFT into thinking about, you know, what's going on here? How are we doing this? And so I was able to, when I kind of retrained in therapy, I was able to take what I was getting from all those long scientific lectures on neuroscience and put it together with experience that was actually happening. And then I think what I got from the business part of my incarnation was the communication, was explaining, because I worked in smart card technology, and
mm-hmm.
I was having to explain to people in ways that they could relate to what this stuff was all about.
Sure.
And it also took away my whole fear of public speaking. I got to really enjoy that, which then I brought into the EFT world, because I love to stand in front of a big audience and talk about EFT and TAP, and I love getting this stuff across to people.
Well, and when you look at it in this way, it's the perfect combination of things. I'm able, Gwyneth, to reach people on that level in which they operate, essentially. I mean, for those people who need demonstrable evidentiary kinds of things, those people who want to be trained by an educator or spoken to in a way that only a great public speaker can, those people that want the direct experiential, you have it all. It's marvelous for all of us.
Yeah.
Well, in our next conversation that we'll have soon, I would like you to invoke more of the scientific side and how EFT connects people in a demonstrable way, using that scientific paradigm and experiential thing in the same way. So maybe we'll save that for our next conversation.
We'll do that. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to stop the recording now, and I'll be right back with you. So hold on.
Okay. Thank you, Dundee. Bye then.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.